In a 2022 edition of the Voice of the Martyrs magazine, we are told of the ongoing persecution of a man by the name of Bassam. As a young man living in the Arabian Peninsula, Bassam had for 8 years kept his faith in Jesus Christ quiet, as is typical for most Muslims in the Middle East who convert to Christianity. But in 2013, Bassam announced to an evangelist friend who has been his mentor, "I have been spiritually sleeping all these years, and I can no longer keep my faith in Christ to myself. I feel strongly compelled to tell everyone about the only true God, Jesus." And that is when Bassam's walk of suffering began. First, his wife rejected him, telling everyone in her family that she was married to an unclean man. And since Bassam worked for the police, she also made sure that his fellow police officers knew that they were working with an infidel. Even though his supervisor warned him to keep his mouth shut, Bassam's wife was not appeased. She and her family pressured his supervisors to discipline Bassam for openly professing his faith in Christ. So, they would schedule him for multiple shifts in a row and summon him to a meeting in order to threaten him. As Bassam continued sharing his faith in Christ, his family grew angrier. His wife kicked him out of their apartment and limited his access to his daughters. She has chosen not to divorce him so that she can get access to his salary and government benefits. As for Bassam's brothers-in-law, they beat him regularly. He has been admitted to the hospital multiple times with broken ribs, a permanently damaged knee, bruises, bleeding. Bassam's wife has gone to the courts on several occasions accusing Bassam of blasphemy against Islam, where Bassam has simply stated that he believes in Jesus. "Well, that's okay," the judges have said. "Muslims believe Jesus is a prophet too." "No," Bassam tells them, "I believe in the Jesus who is God who became human." As punishment, the judges have thrown him in jail for a few nights for his apostasy and then released him. Still, in Bassam's country, his relatives could kill him as an apostate and receive a maximum penalty of only 2 years in prison if they went to prison at all. Despite ongoing persecution, Bassam continues distributing Bibles to people on the street. In the words of Bassam's mentor, "Bassam shares his faith all the time, knowing that every day could be his last on earth." As we turn to Luke 21, it is important for us to be reminded often that in much of the world today, the Church of Jesus Christ faces this kind of persecution. And the reason we need to be reminded of this persecution is that our Lord said this would happen to his disciples in Luke 21, verse 12. He said, "You would be persecuted. You will be delivered to the synagogues. You will be delivered up to the prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Verse 16, Jesus goes on to say, "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." And nowhere does our Lord promise in Scripture that there will be an end to this persecution as long as we live in this world where sin reigns, and as long as the god of this world, Satan, is working in opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what temptation do you think that our adversary, the devil, is laying before many of these followers of Jesus who are regularly experiencing this kind of persecution? What kinds of thoughts is he going to be putting in their head? Is he going to be telling them, what's the point of going on in this awful existence? Why continue going through the pain and the suffering that you're experiencing? Just say a few words and the deed is done. You can return to a normal life. You can get your family back. You can live the good life without everyone being against you. Just renounce Jesus, and all this pain and suffering will go away. And you can live in peace and happiness. And if it weren't for the truth that we're going to see in God's Word today, everyone experiencing this persecution would ask themselves, what is the point of going on? What is the point of clinging in faith to Jesus Christ with all of the pain and all of the suffering that comes with it in this life? As we will see in God's Word today, there is a point to going on. There is a reason to hold on to hope. Even though our believing brothers and sisters face persecution and they feel like the whole world is against them, there is a point to it. Because the truth that every born-again, believing follower of Jesus hopes in the face of every difficulty and every opposition and every truth for every persecution is a truth that Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 21, verses 10, 11, that nation will rise against nation, kingdom will rise against kingdom, there will be great earthquakes in various places, there will be famines and pestilences. You go down to verse 24, Jesus said that Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. We looked back at Matthew 24, verse 14 last week, and we saw that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And when the end is about to come, friends, followers of Jesus will know that the end is about to come because Luke 21:25 tells us that there will be signs when the end is about to come. What kinds of signs will people see? Look here in verse 25, you see, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Isaiah 13, verses 9 and 10 says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. A moment ago, we read from Joel chapter 2, where it says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. In other words, this is not going to be like anything the world has ever seen before. There will not only be great signs in the heavens, you go on to read, there will also be great signs on the earth. At the end of verse 25, it says that the sea and the waves will be what? They'll be roaring. Now, some of our people here like to winter in Florida. For some reason, they like that better than winter in Michigan. From time to time, they get a little taste of this roaring of the waves every time a hurricane makes landfall. I'm sure every time another hurricane is projected to make landfall close to where your mobile home is or where your timeshare property is, what goes on in the pit of your stomach? You get that sick, sinking feeling, and you pray, oh Lord, let it not get too close to our place. But these roarings of the waves and the sea are not going to be a couple of isolated events. Just like the signs in the heavens are going to be experienced worldwide, so too this roaring of the seas and the waves will be experienced worldwide. Verse 25 tells us that everyone, the nations, will experience these heavenly and earthly signs of the end. But I want you to notice with me, as we look in these verses, the reaction of those who experience these signs of the end. First, we see Jesus reveals the reaction of the nations to the signs of the end. Again, starting in verse 25, it says, "There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts," verse 26, "failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." The nations are going to see all these signs taking place in the heavens and on the earth, and they're not going to be just a little bit nervous. They're not going to walk around with just that little sinking feeling in the pit of their stomach. Keep your finger here in Luke 21 and turn with me to Revelation 6, verse 12, and you will see a very vivid illustration of the fear that the nations will have in seeing these great signs. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, this is one of the seals that you see the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, breaking from the scroll. It says in verse 12, this is the Apostle John speaking, "I looked when he," the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, "when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. The stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place." And notice the response of people when they see all of this happening. "The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty man, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the rocks and the mountains, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" No one's going to feel great in that day. Nobody, my friend, is going to be unaffected by the signs of the end. Great and small, rich and poor, significant and insignificant, every single person among these nations will see these signs, and their reaction will be great fear. And then the end will come. Then the nations of the world will behold the climax of all these signs that they have been pointing to. And what is it that they're pointing to? What will they see? It says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12 says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud, everything lofty, upon everything lifted up. It shall be brought low upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the beautiful sloops. The loftiness of man shall be bowed low, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. But the idols he shall utterly abolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and to the caves of the earth, for the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. In that day a man will cast away his idols of silver, his idols of gold which they have made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks, into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Isaiah 13, verse 11. The Lord says, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold. A man more rare than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and the day of his fierce anger. And then finally, Isaiah 66, verse 15 says, Behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword, the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Let that sink in. The power and the glory of Jesus Christ. Who will be able to stand? But the nations of the world are not the only ones who are going to see these incredible signs of the end. What other group of people will see these same signs that will cause great fear amongst the nations? There will be disciples of Jesus Christ alive at this time who will see these signs of the end. We often refer to them as the tribulation saints. Now we know from Mark's gospel that Jesus is saying these words in Luke chapter 21 to a specific group of disciples. Actually, Mark 13:3 tells us that Jesus is saying these things in answer to Peter, James, John, and Andrew. These four, they come to Jesus privately and they ask him these questions, and this is what Jesus tells them. So let me ask, are these four disciples the ones Jesus is talking about who are going to see the signs of the end? It's not a trick question. The answer is no. Why not? Well, let's just say they've been dead for over 1900 years. And at no point in time since the earthly ministry of Christ until today has these signs of the end taken place. But there will be disciples of Jesus who see these signs of the end. And we know that because in Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus begins speaking in the second person. You see, in verses 25 to 27, Jesus is talking in the third person. He's talking about nations, about men, about they, them. But in verse 28, it changes, doesn't it? No longer does Jesus continue talking about they and them. Who is Jesus talking about? You! Some form of you. And the only you he's talking to, standing to listen to him, is people who are his disciples. And what does Jesus say the reaction of his disciples should be when they see the signs of the end? Look at verse 28. It says, Now when these things, right, these signs, great signs in the sky and the sun and the moon and the stars, the seas and the waves raging, roaring, when these things begin to happen, what should the believer who is there seeing these signs do? Cower in fear? hide in the rocks and the crags and the mountains? What can and should the believer do? Look up. Lift up your heads. Why? Because something incredible is about to happen. Because your redemption draws near. Isaiah 6, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The very signs that will strike terror in the hearts of the people of the lost nations who see these things. For the believer who is alive to see these great and awesome signs of the ends, the end of the story is going to be a very different one from the rest of the people. The followers of Jesus who are alive during that terrible time known as the Great Tribulation, they're going to face persecution unlike anything that has ever been seen before. Do you realize that? In Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11, we read that when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, John saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And verse 10 goes on to say, they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and the brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. More would die for the sake of Jesus Christ. And again in Revelation 20, verse 4, John sees the souls of those who have been beheaded for their witness to Jesus Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast, the Antichrist, or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. But for those believers, for that follower of Jesus who is still alive, there will be some who are still alive when they see these great signs in the heavens and on the earth, it will not strike terror in that believer's heart. For that persecuted, suffering, pain-afflicted follower of Jesus, these signs of the end should cause him to stand up straight. The sight of these signs should compel the faithful believer to lift up his head because he knows what's going to come next. His redemption is drawing near. And all the pain and all the suffering that that believer has experienced is just about to come to an end. The affliction, the mistreatment, the mockery, the sorrow, the sight of these signs will mean that it's all about to be over. Because when the persecuted follower of Jesus sees these signs, he knows that the next sight that he will see will be the sight of his glorious Redeemer. That is how the story ends for the disciple of Jesus Christ in this age. They win. They're delivered. Isaiah 60, verse 19 says, "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. And the days of your mourning shall be ended." My friend, that reality should give you and me every reason to remain faithful and obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ with the time that we have left. We do not know when that day will come. We do not know when our Lord and Savior will return for His bride. But that day is coming. Are you ready? Will you be among the number who stands up straight and lifts up his head? Or will you be among the number who cowers in fear? Jesus Christ is coming. Let's look to Him. Let's pray.